In your mind's eye now, you are standing between two trees. They are both 100 feet high. The tree on the right is 50 feet to your right. The tree on the left is 50 feet to your left. You are between these two trees, each 50 feet away from you, each 100 feet high. And you look up to the tops of these trees. Now, if you will, in your mind's eye, move your human form 30 feet to the left so that you are only 20 feet away from one tree, and now 80 feet away from the other tree. You will notice that the tree to which you are closest is the tallest, and the other tree seems smaller. The closer you go to one tree, the bigger it becomes in your mind, and the further you go away from the other tree, the smaller it becomes. Now, neither tree actually grows or shortens, but the position at which you stand determines the size of that tree, the width of its bark, even the color of its bark and the texture of it. Everything is determined by your proximity or degree of distance away from it. And so it is with consciousness. The level of your consciousness determines the outer manifestation of this world in the same way. If you could strip down to the bone of consciousness and find the normal you that is living in this world, again and again and again, until you can find that consciousness and say, I am receiving the world at a certain level. There is in me a someone who is receiving this world. The world presents itself to that someone in me. There is that someone in me that gets out of bed in the morning, that someone in me who walks down the street. I know it looks like my form does all that, but there is a consciousness within me that is doing that. And then the form has no choice but to follow. Now let's find that point of consciousness that you are. For that's all it is a point. In all mortals, there is a point of consciousness. And when I speak to you, you receive me at that point. When the world comes and brings itself to you, you receive the world at that point. And that point of consciousness determines your entire world. But if you raise that point of consciousness and expand it, and stop it from being merely a point, you find that you are coming closer to reality and further away from unreality. Now, when I speak to the divine image and likeness of God, which you are, you do not receive me at a point in consciousness. You receive me on a broader base. When I present to you the image of my form, if you are living as the image and likeness of God, you don't receive me as I present myself to you. You refuse to accept my form. You see right through me. You say to yourself, this form coming to me has no presence or power or reality. It isn't even protected by God. It's just an image in mind. It isn't even external. I am the infinite image and likeness, you say to yourself, and no matter what forms come to me, they do not any more approach me as a point in consciousness. I am infinite being. And this subtly changes your experience, this shift in consciousness. In fact, it has already taken place to such an extent that during the last few months, all space has undergone a change in your consciousness. It is a fact that you and I are closer together now than we were 2 months ago. We are always near each other. I really feel your presence. Distance has shortened. And you may be undergoing the same experience, that very persons in the same room with you are further away than a spiritual self realized 1,000 miles away. I can actually feel closer to you right now in spirit than I can with physical persons who might be within 50 feet range of my eyes or ears. Because I'm not living in those eyes or ears. I'm not receiving them from my point of consciousness. I'm living in the total circumference of my consciousness and all that it encompasses. And you are near. We are close. We are actually the one self. And you can tell by the way you feel about oneness that you have left behind this point of consciousness which can never know God aright. It may surprise you too to learn that if you are feeling this oneness, this nearness of your own spiritual household, that you have to that measure undergone a degree of the mystical crucifixion. Your new birth, your return to pre-existent soul, your acceptance that I am the image and likeness of God is accelerated as you are willing to submit to the mystical death. I die daily. And in this mystical crucifixion to which you submit, you find that you are now supported by truth in consciousness. You're not walking out into empty air. You're walking into your infinite self, out of your finite self, and it is not uncomfortable, as it would have been had you been unprepared. In fact, you begin to suspect that you are on firmer ground because you're walking into your infinite self, and it is true. It has a substance. It has an authority. It has an ordination. It's invisible, yet you know the reality of it. Your mystical death will continue until you are without fear. Fear is the belief that I am not the image and likeness of God. Fear is the belief that I can have a heart attack tomorrow, or a brain tumor tomorrow, or some other unexpected and undesired disastrous accident. But these things cannot happen. They are all tricks of the world mind. The human body is the mask of the world mind. And the human defects in that body are also part of that false mask. They never were, they never are. They exist only in proportion to that point of consciousness which has not expanded into the knowledge that I am the image and likeness of God, living now in the infinite body of spirit. When you wear that garment, the world mind loses its false sense of power over you, and you cease being concerned about the possibilities of any physical ailments. Why? Because no longer being a point of consciousness, you begin to know that your infinite body has no opposite. Your infinite body of spirit does not have human organs. Your infinite body of spirit doesn't have a human heart or a human brain or human lungs. And you can accept that because you know that this is the truth that was revealed on earth by Christ. Thou canst have no power over me. I am not a mortal being. I am not a human being. I am not a physical being. I am the light of the world. I am the image and likeness of God. And God's authority means more to me than my own eyes and ears. I have no human heart. God never made one. I have no human brain. I have no human lungs. God never made them. They are the atomic illusion. And although I must live with those beliefs for a while, until I become more acquainted with my infinite body, I have already robbed them of their false power, because I know the impossibility of their existence. And even though that is only a measure of knowledge, it is a start. And the more we meditate upon that knowledge, that I have no human organs, I have no human heart, I have no human brain, I have no human lungs, though at first we find it is a very difficult thing to accept or to live with, it is nonetheless one of the truths that we must come to understand. And then as we come closer to the truth, closer to the tree on our left, the tree on our right will seem smaller and smaller. As we come closer to the truth, the lie will seem smaller and smaller. And there will come a point when, without you proclaiming it, within you comes the great proclamation of the Spirit. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the light of the world. And you know that you now realize you are no longer a human body with a human heart, a human brain, and human lungs. You are not finite, you are not contained, you are not controlled, you are not ungoverned by God, you are not vulnerable. You are what God says you are, created in His image and likeness, and there is no image and likeness of God which has a human heart, or a human brain or human lungs. Oh, it's a big jump. But that's what is meant by the mystical death. You die to the unreal, to be born of the real. You begin to accept, and this is that word imagination where it really applies, you accept. I have a new heart. I have a new brain. I have new lungs. They're nothing like the old ones. They're quite different. I can't see them. I cannot touch them. But I have a heart that is eternal, a heart that can never be diseased or attacked. I have a heart that can never stop functioning in its perfection. My brain is the consciousness of God. It contains all the wisdom of God. You see, I am not living in the atom, but in the non-atomic heart, the non-atomic brain, the non-atomic lungs. In other words, in the one spirit. I would like you, this month, for your second meditation, your first being, I am the image and likeness of God, to take that and to expand it. One meditation, one day is, I am the image and likeness of God. You stay with it all day. Throughout the day, whenever you meditate, make that your starting point. But the second day, I am the image and likeness of God, wherever other people appear, so that you're not shortening God's garment. You're not the image and likeness of God just where you stand. Right over there where Jack is coming. Over there where Bill is coming. Over there where Mary is coming. There I am the image and likeness of God. Don't accept people, accept the invisible one, image and likeness of God everywhere. That's the second meditation, the second day. And that day, start with that. Now on the third day, whenever you meditate, do this. Because I am the infinite image and likeness of God, I have no human organs. And because that is your third day's meditation and cannot be done in one day, please try to take it into the fourth day, so that you work with that for 2 days. That gives you 4 days of meditation in which you're working with the image and likeness of God, expanded to know it is an infinite image, and then expanded to know that because you are that infinite image and likeness, you have no human organs, no human body. And after those 4 days of meditation, you will find your point of consciousness has been opened up, widened, expanded, stretched out, really encompassing the spiritual universe in such a way that you begin to receive every impulse from this world at a different level of yourself. That which is not true seems less powerful, less real. That which is true is more dominant. There will be additional meditations, but first, let us in the quiet now. Try to understand that mystical crucifixion must be a daily event. We have the secret of going into meditation with the knowledge that I am the infinite image and likeness of God. And that opens a vast storehouse, because every quality of God is now present, functioning perfectly in the image and likeness of God, which you are accepting to be yourself. The magnitude of this new realm is inconceivable to a finite human mind. Mystical birth that takes place out of the mystical crucifixion is simultaneous. All the opposites of this world for you cease to exist. The world sees war, you experience peace. The world sees discord, you experience harmony. Why? There is no opposition to the image and likeness of God. Christ walks unopposed. To be faithful to the image and likeness of God as identity, you must accept only the qualities of God, knowing that all opposing qualities are merely suggestions in thought flowing through the world mind, presenting themselves to you as a temptation, not as a reality. All so-called bad health is simply a temptation in thought. All lack, all abundance, all needs unfulfilled are temptations in thought. They exist only to a finite point of consciousness. When you face them as the image and likeness of the Father, containing all divine qualities, they make no impact upon your consciousness. Your consciousness automatically says to them, without words, without taking thought, get thee behind me, Satan. There is no temptation for the image and likeness of God. You cannot be persuaded that lack or limitation is real. You merely face the so-called invading thought with a sublime knowledge that there is no opposition to the perfection of the divine image and likeness. And you stand still in that knowledge, letting truth dissolve the illusion, the lie of the sense mind. You will see it work. You will be joyous at the truth functioning your life, and you will know that the power of grace functions every time You reject qualities that are not part of the image and likeness of God without fighting them, without reaction, without a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye, without manipulating them. And the reason is they are never there. They only appear to be, but they are never there. On the fifth day of the week, there is a meditation which will intensify your knowledge that space, time, distance are nothing, and will open new doorways for you. Now, you have done it in several ways before, but never from the viewpoint of, I am the infinite body. I am the infinite image and likeness of God. Now just think of this a moment. Take the Spirit of God as an infinite being and realize that if something happens in the east, something happens in the west, that although to human sense they are separated by distance and time, to infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge, infinite knowing, they are happening now. And just as if something were happening in your right arm and your left arm simultaneously, they would be happening here. So it is that the here-ness now shows you that there is a simultaneity throughout the universe of your infinite body, because you are the image and likeness which is uncontained, unconfined, without boundaries. Everything is within your being, meaning here. And so your fifth day's meditation must now close the gap and see that everything you have called there in your human world has where that there-ness seems to be an invisible presence called the image and likeness of God, which you are. And now eliminate the word there in your vocabulary. There is human, there is finite. Within the image and likeness of God, which is everywhere, the universe is all happening in the here-ness of my infinite body. In your infinite body, all is here. There is no there. All is here. Your entire focus is to remove the external there and to see that everything, no matter where it appears in this universe, is happening within the infinite body of your being, which means it is here. We have, for example, in the United States, been very proud of the fact, and have felt very fortunate about the fact, that all wars that we have entered into have never been conducted over here. We've conducted them over there. That's been good strategy, we thought. But over there, we are. Over there, I am. There is no place where I am not. your infinite body is there and here, and there is no other body. You are the image and likeness of God everywhere. When you fought a war over there, you were simply denying that you are the infinite body, that you are the infinite image and likeness of God, and now we are making this correction. There, I am. And if I am there, there is here, because I am here. Indivisible self. Now, this is the meditation for the fifth day. Everywhere is here. Everywhere is here. And although it's a very difficult one, when you work with it through the day to accept that I am the infinite image and likeness of God and everything is within me and therefore everything is here, you will find that subtle alchemy of the Spirit taking place, and you'll see more of this closeness to your spiritual household. That's why I really mean that we are one self, that there can be no distance between us, because what you consider there is really here to you. What I had once considered there is really here to me. The there-ness of you is here. And from your point of view, the there-ness of me is here to you. Everything is here. And soon, unconsciously, you're feeling the here-ness of the spiritual universe. That takes you out of false space. Now that's a difficult one. It's your fifth day. I know you may not want a sixth day, but here it is. The words you'll meditate with on your sixth day will build your consciousness of the now. Now contains every tomorrow. You might look at it this way. We have been told to see the tree within the seed. The seed we see today will someday be a tree. But now is going to be now forever. Nothing new will be added to now. And because the image and likeness of God lives in the now, if you're living in time, if you're living in the hope that tomorrow will be better, you're not living in the image and likeness of yourself, you're denying identity. Identity lives in now. Now is the only time for the image and likeness of God, because that now is the eternal now. The now without beginning or end. In that now, all tomorrows in human time are already included. Your meditation is now. The now that I am contains all my tomorrows. You work with that on the sixth day, and you'll find that you begin to feel more of your self-completeness, more of your independence of the tomorrows in time, more of your awareness of the harvest that takes place in the invisible self when you know that all that is existent in the spiritual universe exists now. God has already completed everything. It is all now. And as you dwell in that knowledge, all that God has completed is now, and nothing is lacking, there will be a peace. And out of this peace is born your quickened intuition. Out of this quickened intuition is born your awareness of realms of consciousness where every quality of God becomes a vital living organism. Now I'm going to assume that even 6 days are not enough. That on the day of rest, the so-called day of rest, the seventh day, our rest will be another meditation. And this meditation is to realize that in my spiritual body, spiritual law is now active. In my spiritual body, spiritual law is now active. It sounds so simple and true when you say it. But if we return to a point of consciousness, we will forget it and lose it. In my spiritual body, all of the qualities of God are maintaining the perfection of paradise now. That is a truth I can depend upon. There isn't a single untruth in this world that can change truth. Truth doesn't change. If I can know truth, believe truth, depend on truth, I have found my raft. Because the truth doesn't change. The untruth never changes the truth. The untruth merely makes the illusion of an untruth. But the truth is still there. And the truth is, I have only a spiritual body. It is the image and likeness of God. It is infinite. Now, what untruth is going to change that truth? It can persuade my human mind that something is wrong, but it cannot change the truth. It can merely make me believe the untruth. But the truth is still there. And if I cannot be swayed, if I can rest in the knowledge that I am the spiritual body, then I know that spiritual law is working. And I can sit through any situation, for the full, complete inventory of divine qualities are functioning and governing my only body, my spiritual body, my infinite body, which is the image and likeness of God. Those are your seven meditations. And after you do them the first week, I believe you're going to see so much power out of it that you're going to want to do them the second week, and then the third week, and then the fourth week. If you wish to improvise, go ahead. But use these seven as your basis. If you were going to improvise, then you might, whenever you think of the qualities of God that are functioning in your being, you might enumerate those qualities and see that they have no opposites. Peace is a quality of the infinite body of God. It doesn't matter what discord appears. There is no opposite to peace. And therefore, discord is a world mind illusion. Any discord, whether it's discord through an entire city or through a country, all of the starvation in the world, all of the poverty in the world, is now happening for one reason. Those individuals are separated from the infinite image and likeness of God through ignorance of its existence. And in their separation, they are not being fed the bread of life. You are crossing out that separation by accepting identity. And through you flows the bread of life, which can never manifest as starvation or poverty or lack or limitation. Harmony is the law of the substance of God. There is no opposite to harmony. If it appears in the home as an opposite, it is a sign that you have not accepted yourself or members of your family as the one invisible image and likeness of God that you are. When you make that adjustment, the outer picture will adjust, and I say this with certainty because many times, and even very recently, certain outer pictures of discord in domestic relationships have changed with a dramatic suddenness. Fathers and sons, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, we are seeing the miracle of the unseparated self made manifest through the enlightened consciousness of only one individual in that family. And I tell you this not about one family, but about quite a number. Mountains have been pushed into the sea by one individual who stands in the truth that I am the image and likeness of God, and where my husband, child, wife, or whatever else is here appears to be, I invisibly am the image and likeness of God. It works. It banishes the illusion of discord in those relationships. Notice that word, the illusion of discord. There never is a discord. You are never replacing the discord with its opposite. You are accepting truth, and truth does not heal. Truth reveals. Christ did not heal. Christ reveals. When you accept the truth, Christ reveals the non-reality of the illusion of discord. If you think the discord is real, you are not accepting yourself to be the infinite image and likeness of God. Dominion is handled the same way. You never lack dominion, but rather you dwell in the belief that you do not have dominion, although the infinite image and likeness of God has dominion over all. And again, we have seen some very beautiful results when an individual, faced with something seemingly insurmountable, stands still with the knowledge. And get this, because it is really effective. Stand still with the knowledge that only the image and likeness of God is present. There may seem to be 10 different persons involved in some kind of a conflict of interest or dispute. Stand ye still with the knowledge that only the invisible image and likeness of God is present. And rest in that truth, and you will behold the miracle of oneself expressing. Now, this is how we face the conditions of this world, before they happen and when they happen. We accept the qualities of God. We accept the omnipresence of these qualities. We do not simply accept perfection on the right side. We accept it on the left side. We accept it in the sky. We accept it outside the home and in the home. The moment we accept that I am the one infinite image of God, we remain true to that by accepting the perfection of God as the governing and only law present. And we stand still in that understanding, knowing that in the stillness of all human belief, in the acceptance of the divine oneself, the perfection of that self must manifest in what we call time. Love is present. Divine purity is present. Divine power is present. Divine wisdom is present. Divine freedom is present. And if you lived in an iron country, behind their veil, even apparently enslaved, you would find, as you dwell in the knowledge that you are the invisible, infinite image of God, that you wouldn't even have to think of the word freedom. But that very invincible, invisible self, no longer separated, would transport you into freedom without you lifting a finger. So it is with all things: health, abundance, lack or limitation. In the knowledge of self, accept it. You also accept invincibility, indestructibility, imperishability, incorruptibility, You are eternal being, and no opposites are accepted as real or power. You are self-complete. Every time that we neglect to accept the Word of God, that we are His image and likeness, we are no longer one with the Father. But when we do accept it, we are one with the Father, and we are taught things we could never know in any other way. Now please carefully notice one important point. You are now the divine image. You cannot also be the human image. You are one or the other. There is no in between. There is no half and half. Right now you are the image of God, totally, and not the human self. If you are not willing to submit the human self to this mystical death, you will not attain the mystical birth. Your whole heart, the very depths of your being, must accept who you are. With my whole heart have I sought thee, says the psalmist. Out of the depths have I cried with thee, O Lord. You can really do no less. Even to strive to improve your human life is a mistake, but rather sow to the Spirit, and your human life will show forth the improvement that you would hope to make, plus others that you could not begin to make any other way. You will learn to hear divinely, to see divinely, to feel divinely, to know divinely. Once you begin to work from this other focus, you will find a totally different way of knowing. Now make sure that you are not divorced from this celestial river of life, this power from above, this divine word which flows through your invisible body. Turn away from all belief that you have been limited to a human body. In the Bible, the word night often means something else. Night and time are often used synonymously. We are stepping now out of the night of time. We are becoming students of life, not of the dead letter. Students of spiritual experience, not of words. We are joining the race of divine manhood called the Masters. We are being baptized by the light. Now this is a continuous preparation for a spiritual outpouring, a shifting from the finite and from the logic of the finite to the quickened intuition which opens the infinite. out of the human form that is not protected or governed by God, out of the body, which we now recognize as a mask of the world mind, out of the ailments of the body, the limitations of the body, all part of that world mind mask, out of human organs, which have no part in our infinite being, out of becoming, out of growing, aging, improving, progressing, into being. Like Christ, Jesus, Christ John, Christ Joel, Christ Peter, we are learning how to demonstrate the now kingdom by resting in the infinity of being, self-complete, needing nothing. These are your assignments for the coming month. If you find that some experiences are occurring beyond your normal esoteric life, some new developments, some experiences in the light, it will be because you have opened yourself to this inner initiation. You're doing it without the presence of a human master. You're doing it by accepting the light of your own being as the image and likeness of God, without limitation in time or space, in matter. The master is your own being.